Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Honey, I'm home.
You're such a liar!
Girls, Gina, Stephanie, I told you, knock it off.
Warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
What if this is as good as it gets?
Brady residence.
A little family solidarity.
Mommy, Mommy!
Now what?
There's no place like home.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, more Americans are living in blended families than any other time in our nation's history. And if you're in a step family right now, or you know someone who is, you know how challenging it can be to have a successful step-family experience. Ron Deal is an author. He's also the Family Life Minister for Southwest Church of Christ, licensed marriage and family therapist who knows this to be true from firsthand experience and also from the seminars he conducts in helping blended families blend better. Well, during the next half hour, I'll talk with Ron about the keys to successful step-families, so keep it right here on Home. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today on the program, taking a look at our continuing series here on how blended families blend the best. And Ron Deal is with us for a conversation about keys to successful step families. He's part of Successful Step Family Ministry, also with Family Life Today. And Ron speaks uniquely into this season of step family life like no others. We are grateful to be broadcasting today here on Homeward because of your prayers and faithful financial support. You can send a tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go. The zip code is 92693. And now with part one of today's Homeward broadcast, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, keys to successful step families. Very important issue, and we have an authority with us. His name is Ron Deal. He's the Family Life Minister at Southwest Church of Christ in Jonesboro, Arkansas. He's written a wonderful book called The Smart Step Family, Seven Steps to Healthy Family. Welcome, Ron. It's great to be with you.
Jim, it is a great honor to be on your program today.
Well, I have been looking forward to this for a long time, and I appreciate so much all that you do. It seems to me that as the step families and blended families and the divorce rates continue, so many people who are trying to blend their families, even ones who want to blend them as Christians, really struggle with this issue. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yes. What we're seeing is that people get blindsided. You know, there's a reason that the remarriage divorce rate is at least 60%, and in some cases it may be as high as 70%. And I think the reasons are that people go in with great intentions, but then get blindsided by some of the complexities that stepfamily life brings with it. And they're just not sure how to deal with it. And unfortunately, most couples just quit and go home.
And unfortunately, you're right. That is the case. And so many people say, well, I had a hard enough time in my first marriage with kids, and now, you know, this blending thing is even tougher. Let me give you a case study.
Okay.
Thinking about a couple who are happily married, but their kids in a blended situation are not doing well at all. And so now, you know, they're kind of putting the kids against, you know, each other, and now they're struggling in a marriage. Is this something that you hear all the time?
Yes, absolutely. And really what happens there is the guilt factor, because the biological parent in that scenario who does feel good about their marriage relationship but feels guilty that their children are faced with a step-family situation, moving back and forth between homes, maybe a difficult relationship with a step-parent, and you know, they just feel guilty about it. And so they want to make peace for everybody. But unfortunately, that's one of the things, Jim, that we have to teach couples and step-families to realize, is that peace doesn't come until many years down the road. And so you have to develop a tolerance in a step-family for some anxiety, for some tension, for some stress, and you have to endure that and work through it and trust God to lead you through, because if you don't, then the guilt factor will make you want to quit and divorce.
I know in your book you say that it takes at least 5 to 7 years for the blending of a step family. So we're not talking about 5 to 7
weeks, months. We're talking years and years.
That's exactly right.
So you have to lower your expectations in some ways.
Yeah, one of the critical questions I ask in the book is, how do you cook a step family? Uh-huh. Because what people want to do is they want to cook it with a microwave.
Right.
That would be the 5 to 7 months.
Right.
Right. They want to do it with a blender, which is, hey, we're going to get married. We're going to go on a nice honeymoon. Give the kids a couple of years. They'll come around. Everybody will be one happy family. That's the Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you cook a step family with a crock pot. And anybody who cooks with a crock pot knows that it takes hours, not minutes, yeah, to cook something. And the analogy there is, it takes years, not months, for step families to really formulate a family identity and feel like, this is something I want to be a part of. And so, again, patience and tolerance for that stress until you kind of climb the mountain and begin to see the peaks on the other side, then there's the payoff. But until then, it's a lot of work.
Well, it seems, Ron, that the problem might be that the husband and the wife fall in love and they're doing just fine. They were in a horrible relationship, or there was a death in one of the relationships, obviously, and they're in love and things are just going great. And all of a sudden the kids, you know, get thrown into the pot and it really does mess it up.
Yeah, when you marry somebody with kids or you yourself have kids, it's a package deal.
Right.
And unfortunately, you can have a wonderful marriage relationship. And see, that's one of the unique things about step families that a lot of educators, a lot of ministers don't understand, a lot of churches don't understand, is that, you know, you can have a happy marriage and have unhappy children. In a biological first family, when you have unhappy children, the first thing we think of is, well, there's probably something going on in that marriage. But in a step family, you can actually have a couple that have a good relationship. I can't tell you how many couples have said to me over the years, Ron, if it was just us, we'd be great. You know, when the kids are away for the weekend, we have a wonderful marriage. But when the kids are home, that's where our complexity sets in. That's where we get lost and we don't know what to do. And that's what we try to help people navigate through.
Part of it is just knowing, is it the kids and the blended family, or is it just the fact that, you know, we live with sinful people in a home?
Well, it's a little of both. In other words, there are some things that are just stressful about family life, period, whether you're in a step family or a biological family, and it's hard to know the difference for people sometimes. That is true. I mean, for example, you know, parenting teenagers is difficult, as you know. It can be a challenge just because they're teenagers and they cop an attitude that they didn't used to have before. There's a lot of unique things about step families that biological families just don't face. For example, let me go back to guilt for a minute, because this is really a big motivator towards divorce. When your kids come home and you and your wife have a good time, you don't feel guilty about having a good time even when the kids are there. But in step families, frequently the couple does feel guilty about loving each other, liking each other, investing in their marriage. The kids feel threatened by that. They don't feel comforted by that. And that is a very different emotion for people to experience in step families. And again, oftentimes the biological parent and the step parent just aren't sure what to do with that, and it works against their marriage.
Right, and you have more things working against, but yet there would be good news. Now, when you talk about blending, you give a great illustration about a 3D jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Give us that picture.
If I were to ask you and a group of four or five people to sit down at a table, and I said, put together a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle, and oh, by the way, here's the box. Here's the picture on the box. This is what the pieces are going to create now. And we're not going to let you just do this, you know, freehand. We cooperate with one another. You can't talk to one another, and we're going to put a blindfold on you. So you have to pick up the pieces and by feel figure out which ones fit with other pieces. Now, that would be just a huge difficult task for people, full of frustration. And then about 20 minutes into the frustration, if I were to say to you, and by the way, Jim, the picture I showed you doesn't match the pieces you're working with, you're going to have to figure this one out as you go. Well, then it's even more frustrating because you don't even know what you're trying to build. And here's the thing that people need to understand about living in a step family is the model that they have, the picture on the box, if you will, that most people have is the Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brady Bunch was not a step family. They didn't act like a step family. They had no roles and relationships that mirror modern-day step families. They were just a biological family and with a step parent plugged in, and everything else was the same. And what that does is it sets step families up because they feel like, well, we should operate like this. It should be like this to be a step parent. It shouldn't take very long for the kids to get used to having a step parent and calling them mom or calling them dad. And so when it does, everybody's disillusioned about, well, what, these pieces are not coming together like we thought. And it's because you got the wrong image in mind.
Yeah, it's very important to have that right image, isn't there?
Yeah.
What's the success rate among step families?
Well, again, unfortunately, we tend to talk about the divorce rate. It's at least 60% for remarriages, and it may be higher for remarriages with children, with step family couples. I like to call them step couples, by the way, because I think that really describes well the fact that they're a couple, but yet they live in a step family, and that complexity changes their relationship. And so if you believe those numbers, and it's good research, we're talking less than 30%, maybe as high as 40%, will make it on their own. But here's what I believe, Jim. Here's the good news. I think about 80% of step couples can make it, and their families can make it, if they have the right picture in front of them. If somebody shows them what a healthy step family looks like and how it's different and how you make your family come together over time, I think the success rate can be very, very high. We just have to get that good information in people's hands.
Well, that's powerful insight from Ron Deal today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Ron, the founder and president of Smart Step Families and Successful Step Families. He's written a book called Keys to Successful Step Families, and that's our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast. If you are in a blended family situation, whether it was due to divorce or to widowhood, we encourage you to check out the resources that Ron has. And if you go to homeward.com today, hit the radio broadcast section, you'll find a link on Ron's name to his website. More of his conversation with Jim Burns in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hello?
Hello, is this Jack Thompson?
Speaking.
Oh, hey, Dad. I almost didn't recognize your voice.
Who is this?
It's me, Daddy.
Oh, Dorothy? Oh, hi.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, I was just thinking about you.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just going to call you.
Really? Well, Dad, how come whenever we talk, I'm the one who has to call you?
If you're divorced, it's a given that you're not going to see your kids as often as you'd like, but there's still no excuse for neglecting them altogether. Now, I know it isn't always easy for divorced parents to make time to see their kids. Many divorced parents feel guilt and even shame over what happened in their marriages, and being around their children can make the pain seem to hurt even more. But that child of yours needs your influence and your love. If you need some help with how to get started reestablishing a connection with your kids after a divorce, go to our website at homeward.com. Ron Deal is with us today. We're talking about keys to successful step families. His book is called The Smart Step Family, 7 Steps to a Healthy Family. A great, great read. Ron, before the break, we were talking about how it's not easy. The success rate is not easy among step families. And one of the things we have to do is understand what the children are going through. Two of the biggest issues that you talk about are loyalties and losses. Talk about that.
Well, here's an analogy that I think is good for adults to think about. Have you ever noticed how you can talk bad about your mother, but nobody else can talk bad about your mother? You know, you could say some things about your mom, but if your neighbor or your wife says something about that, you kind of come to her defense and go, now, wait a minute, that's my mom you're talking about. Well, kids have the same sort of loyalty conflicts that take place, only they have a multitude of loyalty issues. And this is tied into their losses. Whether they had a parent die, or their parents have divorced, or they were born out of wedlock, and now mom or dad is marrying somebody else, and it brings a step-parent into their life, their primary loyalty is to their biological parent. And that doesn't die easily. In fact, it rarely does die. Kids are loyal to their bio dad and their bio mom. And if mom gets remarried, for example, he may be a wonderful guy and marvelous Christian man and bring a lot of godly influence to a child's life, and they may even appreciate that. But he's not my dad. There is only one of those in life. And even if dad is deceased, there is only one dad in my life. And so kids hold on to those loyalties very tightly and oftentimes feel guilty if they begin to like or love their new step-parent just because it feels like they're taking something away from their bio-parent. And that catches them in a conflict where they're constantly trying to figure out how to play this thing, you know. Loss is tied into that as well because they don't want any more losses in their life. One of the things I say in my stepfamily conference for adults is no one in stepfamilies has had more loss than the children. Now, that often catches the adults off guard because they're thinking about their losses. They went through a horrible divorce, or they lost a spouse to cancer, or whatever the case is, and life has thrown them a curve, and they're well aware of that. But oftentimes we overlook how much life has thrown a curve to the children. And guess what? Your remarriage is another curve in their life.
Right.
It just brings more complexity. It's another loss. Now they have to share you with another adult and maybe that adult's kids, their step-siblings. And so life just gets more and more complicated for them. And all of this, what it does is it oftentimes creates kind of layer of resistance to the new relationships, or a layer of anger on the child's heart. And that just becomes difficult for them to overcome in embracing the new step-parents, step-siblings, the new family situation.
You know, sometimes I'll see kids in this kind of situation where they'll shut down and they won't want to be connected because they're also afraid that this relationship isn't going to work. And as what you're saying is, it's possible that it may not. And so
yeah.
They shut down and they don't want to get close. They don't want to be connected.
Yeah, here's a little equation I like to give people. Loss brings the fear of more loss. In other words, you get burned once, mm-hmm. you learn that life can burn you, and so you hesitate mm-hmm. before getting yourself into a situation where you're going to get burned again. And the other part of this is the fear of loss brings a resistance to new relationships. Mm-hmm. So it shows itself as anger. It shows itself as a kid who won't talk to you when you walk in the room, or a child that's not really obedient or not real cooperative with the family rules, that sort of thing. And so it's really irritating because that's what you see. But what's behind it is a kid who's hurting and doesn't want to hurt anymore. And so the adults have to develop a sensitivity to that. You don't let a child manipulate you with their hurt and their pain. But at the same time, it is very important that we recognize, hey, these kids are carrying a lot of hurt, and it's helpful if we can try to give them over time opportunities to talk about that, to share that, to work through that.
What's also interesting about it is, and it just dawned on me, that a lot of these kids are struggling not just with one step family, blended family, I should
right.
say, but
right.
another blended family as well. So
yeah.
all of a sudden, one of their losses is they don't do Christmas the way everybody else does Christmas. They don't do birthdays the way everybody else does birthdays.
That's right. And they can't attend youth group every Sunday because they're only available to go to it every other Sunday.
Oh, exactly.
And again, you know, here's the tough reality. Remarriage is a gain for the adults. Hmm. It's another loss for their kids initially.
Right.
Again, initially.
And you've got to underline initially, because it can be, I know some relationships where it can be very positive.
That's right. And it will change over time. As long as the couple can really make their marriage last and they can stick it out,
yeah.
it becomes a gain for the children eventually. But that's only after being in the crock pot for a certain measure of years. And then it's a gain for the kids, too. And it's really hard for the adults. See, again, most of the divorces take place for step couples within the first 3 years. Well, they never get to the good stuff. You know, here's the thing I tell people in conferences all the time. There is a honeymoon for remarried couples. It just comes at the end of the journey and not at the beginning.
That's a great way of looking at it.
And if they hold on to that thought, then they can get through the struggle. Then they can begin to experience the rewards and the honeymoon, so to speak, not only for themselves, but for their children.
Yeah,
as well.
And almost look at a honeymoon as something not just for the couple, but for the whole family as
exactly.
well.
That's exactly.
a great way of looking at it, Ron. I really appreciate that insight. Let me give you another case study. A young man says to me, I feel so much guilt over my parents' breakup because his dad had an affair. And he said, I feel guilt because I should have talked to him about God more.
Yeah.
In another conversation, he says, my sister and I shouldn't have argued so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another conversation where he's just absolutely feeling horrible is he said he had heard his mom and dad say, we would have never been in this situation if Robert wouldn't have been here, because what that meant was they got pregnant out of wedlock. So now he's feeling guilty because he feels like he's the one who's broken up his family, but he's coming to me saying, and now my mom is getting married to a really neat guy. I think I'm going to probably mess that up too.
Yeah. It's amazing what kids can do with their magical thinking.
Right.
That the one or two things they did or said or should have done or could have done would have make or break this marriage relationship. And, you know, you and I know that that's just not the case. And sometimes children have to get older,
right.
just developmentally, where they're able to understand the limits of their influence and
right.
what is adult responsibility and what's kids.
Right. And that's very good advice for somebody who's going through this right now, to understand that, you know, they will grow up, they will become a little bit mature, but right now some of those words are words from an immature kid.
And here's another thought related to that. Adults need to understand they need to tell their kids, not just once or twice or three times, that it wasn't your fault, but they need to tell them over the duration of the child's life. Mm-hmm. You see, for children, loss is not a one-time event. It's a reoccurring event, every developmental step of their life. If dad died when the child was 8, he's got to re-grieve dad's loss when he's 13 mm-hmm. and he hits puberty. And he begins to think about male masculinity in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's 15 or 16, he starts dating, and now he has a greater understanding of relationships and how that works and how it doesn't work. Now he's got to think about mom and dad's marriage all over again. And then when he's 21 and he gets married out of college, see, every step, mom needs to say, wasn't your fault, we love you, your dad loved you, and here's what he thought of you. And those kind of messages hit the child in a totally new way cognitively every time the child grows and takes a step into the future.
Great insight. What's the most important thing parents of a step family can do to help their family blend better right now?
Well, one of the things that we like to recommend is what we call compartmentalize and take advantage of your middle ground. Those are two strategies that help you cook in this crock pot. Compartmentalizing is understanding that, hey, at this point in your family's development, you might have a collection of many families. And what I mean by that is M-I-N-I, many families. Your mom and her kids and dad and his kids. And it's okay for mom to spend a little time with her kids without the stepdad. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for them to have a little time together where they just kind of, it's just us again. It's kind of the insiders need to rejuvenate themselves. And that is not a statement against the family. That's not something, you know, people often go, well, we're not a family if everybody's not together. Well, yes, you are. You're a stepfamily, and stepfamilies are different. And early on, it's advisable to spend a little time, mom and the kids, and let stepdad go off and watch ESPN and do whatever he needs to do. But at the same time, then you take advantage of your middle ground. And middle ground is an idea that what do you have in common? What do you already bring to the family experience? And maybe it's baseball, for example. So if it's baseball that you and your stepchildren enjoy baseball, by all means, be intentional about attending baseball games and going to practice together and going to the ballpark and seeing a professional game and make experiences out of those, because those are easy ways to cook, easy ways to bond mm-hmm. together. And so you're smart about separating when you need to and then being together in ways that are natural. And that kind of thing over time, again, it eases the stress for everybody, but it also facilitates some bonding that needs to take place. And then realize that it takes years to develop a family identity, not just months.
That is great input. Listen, we're out of time with this part of the conversation. Can I ask you to come back next time so we can keep on going?
Would love to.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Ron Deal here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme today, keys to successful stepfamilies. If you are in a blended family situation right now, you know that it is a crock pot. It takes a little bit longer to put this together. We want to do everything in the microwave world where we could just hit a couple of buttons, let it sit for a minute or two, and then instant family. It just doesn't work that way. And Ron's our go-to guy when it comes to talking about step family and blended family issues. If you want to learn more about what his ministry is all about, just go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section. You can check out there, or you also go to the radio broadcast section. We have a link today to Ron's site at homeward.com.
The so-called traditional nuclear family makes up really only about 25% of all households today. Hmm. And as many as 60% of all kids will spend at least part of their childhood living with only one of their biological parents. I mean, that's a major, major thing. Yeah. This means that step families are going to become more common. They already are there, and we need to be ready to help meet their needs, even if we don't find ourselves in the step family situation.
Well, Ron Deal has certainly done a lot of research in this area, and with his pastoral ministry, had some great information to share with us today on this topic.
Well, that's why I'm glad he'll be back next time on the program, Roger. His book is a very good book. It's called The Smart Step Family, and I want to share three quick tips for helping blended families blend better. They're practical. They're fairly easy to remember, but I think they'll remind us of what's really important in, frankly, any family. First, remember to value the opinion of everyone in your home, not just your biological relatives. If there are stepchildren in the home who feel their opinions don't matter, well, they're less likely to want to be a part of this new blended family unit. So make sure that they feel that their opinion counts. Remember, kids learn best when they talk, not when you talk. Secondly, remember to identify your own goals for the step family. You've got to be proactive and intentional. Early in the program, you heard Ron Deal mention that it typically takes about 5 to 7 years for a step family to blend. That is amazing, but true. And because of that, it means we've got to have our goals together. So if you're a single parent and you're thinking of remarriage, make sure you and your future spouse go into this union with clearly defined goals and objectives. You don't want your second marriage to become just another statistic. The third way to help your blended family blend better is to view those differences in opinion in your new step family as opportunities for growth. And that's just good parenting advice, frankly. Because as parents, we can't remain so rigid in our thinking with our kids that we miss an opportunity for them to grow just because we were so hung up on them not doing something the way we wanted it done.
Well, that's good insight, Jim. And we talk about how important it is for us as parents to be intentional with our kids. And I want to recommend a book here as we conclude today's program, a book by Dr. Jim Burns that will help whether you're in a blended family situation or just if you're trying to make it through till next Thursday in relationship with your kids. One of the ways that we can be intentional about parents is to read up on the issues that they're dealing with. And Jim's book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, is a great resource to have. If you don't have it already, you can order a copy directly from our homework online resource center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that faithful financial support. If you order that book today from homeward.com, H-O-M-E-W-O-R-D.com, the book is Teenology by Dr. Jim Burns. If you have any questions about that, you can call us at 800-397-9725. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.